what drives you as far as Rupert is concerned, anyway?
I've really always had a pretty high level of distaste for conspiracy theorists in general. Just the general practice of distorting the facts and the historical record to comport with someone's twisted ideology has always really bugged me. I mean, I think Rupert's cases is different in just how egregious it is. What really interested me in devoting so much time to Rupert's timeline is the simple fact that the one thing I remember the most up to what happened on September 11th is that when Flight 77 slammed into the Pentagon, it took out the Navy's command center, including several watchstanders, including intelligence officers standing watch, keeping watch on what's going on around the world. These are people who, if you believe Rupert's nonsense, would have been shipmates, as we say in the Navy, with Delmert Vreeland. And just, you know, beyond that, the idea that the highest levels of government knew this was going to happen beforehand, and yet the people who actually do the grunt work of intelligence gathering, analysis, and dissemination would simply go to their deaths on that day is absurd, to the point of being offensive, really. Also, you'll note that Rupert's defense, whenever somebody calls him on any one of his arguments, is not really to try and respond to the specific argument, but simply to say, well, that's only one of my many arguments that I, it's just one of many countless arguments that I talk about in my two-hour lecture. So I decided to go ahead and cover all of them.
Of course, the other thing being, alternatively, as a response to criticism, is accusing people of working for various government agencies.
Anyone who could say what the man has said about David Corn would probably have a field day with me.
I understand you recently heard the interview on KPFK where he is actually briefly head-to-head with David Corn.
But in terms of calling somebody or asserting that they are a CIA or FBI agent or plant, do you have evidence that's from your sources on tape, on paper, or any kind of serious hardcore evidence apart from your word?
I just answered that previously, but I will answer it again. I have statements from two former CIA case officers, one of whom I believe is on the record, and if this becomes an issue, I'll go look him up.
And his name is?
David McMichael.
David McMichael, are you nuts? David's a friend of mine. I've worked with him for many years. He would never say that I'm a CIA case off plant or FBI.
I didn't say that.
What are you saying?
That was not my statement.
What's your statement, Michael?
My statement was that, among others, the information that I received was that Shackley had approved you to be his biographer.
Okay, fine. You know what? I'll bet you $1,000 that we can bring David McMichael on the air anytime you want in the next week, and he will not say that.
And the
$1,000 right now. What do you say?
I would say I want to go talk to David McMichael, see if
he's
changed
his position. Well, you just said he told you that.
We will try to get
$1,000 right now. Put your money where your mouth is when you're libeling someone.
What were your thoughts about how that played itself out?
You know, to be honest, it kind of left me wanting more. I mean, it was good to hear him actually have to confront the people that he said such ridiculous things about, face to face, as it were. And the way he handled himself was just shameful, to put it mildly.
There were a couple points in the timeline that I've heard people repeat over and over again as evidence of the United States government's complicity or foreknowledge or even participation in the events of 9/11. Air Force readiness, to the point where Rupert's talking about the fact that the Air Force had such and such amount of planes combat ready. You know, that's a little misleading and untrue, isn't it?
He he borrows the work of someone else, I believe, from the Emperor's Clothes webpage, another conspiracy theory website, in saying that, Andrews Air Force Base, obviously a lot closer to the Pentagon, could have responded, get interceptors off the ground much more quickly to deal with at least Flight 77 before it hit the Pentagon. But he... understandably doesn't have much understanding of what combat ready really means. It doesn't mean that you have a dedicated squadron that is on alert, you know, having pilots that are on base 24 hours a day, ready to respond to any emergency. After the Cold War ended, we had our drawdown in the 90s. We reduced the number of fighter aircraft that filled that role, that you know, to be an interceptor on ready alert at all times, to about 15 total in the continental United States, from only 7 bases, and Andrews Air Force Base was not one of them. So just to say that, you know, they have combat ready aircraft just means that, you know, they have aircraft that are not in pieces. It doesn't mean they're gassed up, loaded for bear, as it were, and have a dedicated squadron that's on watch 24 hours a day. I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg in its absurdity.
The issue of put options, which also allegedly have a connection to the CIA. Can you talk about that briefly?
Yeah, he's very clever in using that argument, because, of course, it's always impossible to prove a negative, so it's difficult to completely disprove his argument on its face. But what he suggests is that because there's a high-ranking CIA official, Buzz Krongard, who was a former senior vice president, I believe, of Deutsche Bank, or a division of Deutsche Bank, and that some of these put options, the transactions were actually made through Deutsche Bank, suggests some sort of complicity, which to me sounds rather silly. I mean, suppose the CIA were involved in this, why would they use a bank that could be traced back to one of their senior officials? It doesn't make much sense to me.
Do you find the whole issue of the put options on United and American Airlines and a few other companies associated with the World Trade Center, do you think there's anything to that at all?
It's hard to say. I mean, it's certainly possible. I would not venture to say likely without having seeing you know, a real comprehensive statistical trend in what that trading looked like over a long period. But it does certainly warrant attention, and it is certainly possible that those associated with the hijackings were also trying to make some money on the side through these put options. But the notion that the CIA was either involved or had foreknowledge of those transactions is silly.
I'm wondering what you think the weakest parts of Rupert's timeline might be.
Well, I think his argument that the NORAD FAA air defense system, as it were, was intentionally stood down is singularly the most ridiculous. I mean, it's nothing more than a stack of lies. Apart from that, you know, he uses a lot of arguments that are pretty popular among the conspiracy crowd, one being the one from the French book, The Forbidden Truth, regarding some negotiations between former diplomats from both the U.S., Russia, and Pakistan in July of 2001, where he alleges that, you know, we basically said, look, you do what we want, or Afghanistan does what we want, or we're going to invade. And the Pakistanis supposedly passed this message on to Afghanistan. Now, there is quite a bit of debate between the players in that meeting over what was actually said. Niaz Naik alleges that we basically said, look, you go ahead and pass this message to the Taliban. They hand over bin Laden and shut down the camps, or we're going to invade. And he said he passed that message to them. Now, one thing that all parties are in agreement on is that the so-called, you know, oil pipeline, or actually natural gas pipeline, really had nothing to do with those discussions. It was not a topic. It was basically about what to do to get Afghanistan to finally hand over Osama bin Laden and stop, you know, basically supporting his terror network, which had, you know, less than 7 months prior, killed 17 American sailors on the USS Cole. Beyond that, I don't really find it plausible that Mr. Naik's version of events is what really happened. If you look at how the Taliban regime reacted after September 11th, when it became evident that we were going to go in and take them out, as well as shut down the al-Qaeda camps and go after Osama bin Laden ourselves, as well as how Saddam Hussein has been acting recently when, you know, military action against his regime is looking more and more imminent. How is it that this could have been passed to the Taliban back in July of 2001, and yet they didn't go to the press and just scream bloody murder? Frankly, their only hope would have been to go public immediately and try and get sympathy among the international community, much in the way Saddam Hussein is doing today.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering what you'd say to the average person who's possibly swayed by Mike Rupert.
Well, let me qualify this by saying that, you know, two reasonable people who read his research and are possibly swayed by it, I would encourage them to read other sources, including your own, David Korn's, and certainly mine. And if there's something that they just don't think is valid, I mean, my email address is posted on my site. I have yet to really receive, you know, a critical argument saying, well, I think you're wrong about this. I've gotten, you know, a lot of encouragement, as well as a few insults and basically accusations that I'm also a CIA plant. But I've yet to come across anyone who said, you know, your timeline is wrong because of this, this, and this. You know, I think his core audience is unreachable, but you know, I think there are a lot of people, certainly a lot of young people in college. I've seen, you know, the Portland Indie Media site. There are a lot of students there, you know, demonstrating publicly, posting his own URL on their posters, who I think could be reached. And I would encourage them to just read other sources. And if there's something that you think is, if there's an argument that you think is not valid, or you have a question about, email me.
Okay, and why don't we give people the URL for your site so they can check out some of this work for themselves?
Okay. McKinney Sucks, that's McKinney, .blogspot.com.
And I have a standing offer of $1,000 to anyone. I am a journalist, professional journalist. I'm read by 20 members of the U.S. Congress and professors at 12 universities in the U.S. and Canada. And I have a timeline story. It's very easy to find on the website that completely debunks the U.S. government position. And I have $1,000 offered to anyone who can take any of the sources listed in my timeline story and prove that they are either not authentic or are inaccurately quoted, and I tell everybody how to find these sources. Not only are there is there ample public record document, there is stuff from the media which, when assembled, clearly debunks the government's position.